This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We both talked about it kind of at the end of the year as, I'll put it on myself, just doing a better job with talking to him. And sometimes you the language barrier makes you lazy, unfortunately. That's on me, and I got to get a little better at that, and will. And it's something that I promise Saya, and we'll work hard to do.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today as we welcome our Chicago Sports Network audience to the simulcast. Familiar one with Ruthie and I back tonight on the Big Pro Football Show at 5:30. We're talking Cubs, we're talking White Sox, we're talking NCAA Tournament. 312-644-6767 if you have a thought. That was Craig Counsell talking about his relationship with Seiya Suzuki as the Cubs continue spring training. And I thought it was interesting to point out because I don't think Craig Counsell necessarily had to address or call himself lazy. The communication gap between Seiya Suzuki and the manager was something that last year became an issue. And if you remember, Seiya Suzuki changed interpreters during the season and the Cubs were involved in having their own guy. And I wonder what prompted that, what led to that, what was the result of that. And you have a player in Seiya Suzuki who is, I don't want to say resisting becoming a full-time designated hitter, but it certainly wouldn't be his first choice. And I think this is one of those situations that bears watching because of Seiya seems like such a cerebral player and has to have everything, I think, in a way that you want his mindset to be. You want him to have a healthy mindset, and you want him to be confident in what he's doing and comfortable. And I think this is something to keep an eye on.
Did you appreciate Craig Counsell sort of like taking that upon himself, or did you feel like when you say it's unnecessary, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think he's a manager of 26 players, and yeah. So I don't know that, you know, you have to treat every player different, I suppose. But he referred to himself as you get lazy. I thought it was really transparent and honest. Yeah. I do think you probably do feel like if there's another layer you have to encounter if you want to communicate a message to a player like Suzuki. And I know just from talking to people around the team, Seiya Suzuki and David Ross seem to have a very healthy relationship, a very positive one. And I think that Seiya himself, through his interpreter, alluded to how difficult it might have been or how it was tricky to change. He had never changed managers before. This is his first experience doing that in the majors. So I think that was something that you want to, it tells you that there could have been something in that rapport between the manager and the player last year that contributed to Seiya's struggles. Mm. And Craig Counsell being willing to revisit it and accept his role in that to me, is why Craig Counsell is, you know, one of the best managers in baseball, because he understands the power of that communication, something that we tend to overlook when we're evaluating managers on a daily basis.
And that has to be probably one of the hardest parts of being a manager, especially in baseball, where you have language barriers. That's a huge obstacle, I think, especially when you're taking over a new team, trying to build those relationships, but also in a city with a lot of pressure and a lot of other things and distractions and those sorts of things. So to at least sort of always love to hear a manager or a coach continue to learn. How can I be better? What can I do to be better? And it sounds like Craig Counsell did some reflecting there.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at, say, being the full-time designated hitter this spring, he'll have to get used to that. He's not done it before, and he wants to play in the field. But it's something that makes them better overall. I still think that they need to go out after losing Alex Bregman, think about Justin Turner adding to the roster. I think there still could be in conversations about a trade. But the Cubs, from an outfield perspective, seem pretty solid. They didn't replace Cody Bellinger necessarily. I guess they did with Kyle Tucker, but I still think they may regret not keeping Cody Bellinger, but that's a story for another day. Seiya Suzuki, I will be curious to see how he just adapts to playing, only being the designated hitter, not playing the field, and whether or not he, I don't want to say gets on board with it, but it makes the adjustment, because it's not as easy as it looks.
And that's, you know, how do you make that something that he, that's appealing for him? Like, how can you pitch it to him so that he's happy and content too?
We're going to have baseball on the score this week. The Cubs open Friday against the Dodgers. That is crazy.
Crazy.
155 right here on the score. Matt Shaw has been a little bit banged up. That was a little bit of a surprise, I suppose. Not welcome news. It's an oblique injury. He talked on Saturday inside the clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey. And just hearing him describe the injury, you don't want to overreact in February to anything, but hearing him talk about the injury was something that maybe made your ears perk up a little bit.
It was probably Monday this past week. Heard a little bit. Took a couple days off of hitting and throwing. Still able to work out, which was good. So still able to stay strong. Was able to run and do everything with the team yesterday. They're just being overly cautious, so I sat out of throwing and hitting, which is probably for the best. But, you know, today I'm going to start to throw and hit. And, I've been here for 2 months at the facility, so I'm very built up and ready to rock and roll. So I don't see this as being any sort of long issue whatsoever.
That's Matt Shaw on Saturday morning talking about the oblique injury I'm not sure anybody knew about. Did we know about this? I think that these oblique injuries, last week we spent so much time talking about whether or not the Cubs were going to get Alex Bregman and whether or not once they didn't, Matt Shaw was ready for the challenge. I hope that this is as minor as he made it sound. I don't think you ever dismiss something like this. We just talked about Seiya Suzuki. An oblique injury, I think, caused him to have a setback last year. And you can never take these things lightly. We heard from Javier Assad dealing with an oblique injury. Oblique injuries are very, very tricky. And so let's hope that Matt Shaw is as healthy as he suggested, because they need him to be a guy now that they don't have Bregman, who ascends quickly.
The more we hear about the oblique injury, it does sort of feel like it's less of a big deal. The reporting on it doesn't feel like it's a big deal. But this is a silly question, maybe. Is oblique soft tissue, right?
Like, yeah.
It's, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a soft tissue injury. Mm-hmm. Those are always tricky. Right. And I guess, you know, you talk about how he's been out in Arizona working out, kind of sounds like a grinder, right? Like he wants to be in tip top shape for this upcoming season. And it's tough with a young player. Like you still have to learn your boundaries and learn how far can you push yourself? And maybe this is just part of that process. You hope that, you know, they caught it soon enough that there's time to heal.
35 games at Iowa. That's always going to be the question. Is he a guy that is ready for this, or are you rushing him because you need him? The Cubs' inability to land Bregman certainly clears the path for Matt Shaw. You hope that he is ready. He certainly looks like his bat will travel and will be, you know, ready for major league pitching. But you do always, you know, have in the back of your mind a little bit of a concern to that he's up too fast, and you wonder if he's ready for this challenge, a different position. He's a natural middle infielder, but here he is at third base, and I've heard him being reminded about and compared to other great players in Cubs past who have been, you know, third base rookies, Ryan Sandberg, Chris Bryant, and I would just tap the brakes. I mean, I'd like Matt Shaw as much as anybody, but I do think you want to be realistic about expectations for him as a rookie that the Cubs now have to count on.
Expectations, that's always the hard thing to balance. What do you think this is going to look like on Friday? Like, do you think this is close to...
Well, the season started, I mean, a month from today, I think the Cubs open up. I don't know that we're going to see anything on Friday that is...
No, and spring training's always weird, right? Like, it's never really representative of anything. But I just am curious, like, the line, like, what do things look like? Is this going to, when you're watching this team sort of take shape, are you looking at just the, like, what is this team going to be?
I think you're curious about, it says Seiya Suzuki's supposed to be playing some outfield, too. This spring, I want to see Kyle Tucker. I think everybody's curious to see Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
When is Kyle Tucker going to be in a Cub uniform, and what is that going to look like in game situations against the Dodgers, against whoever? So the Cubs, you know, when he will get ramped up, some of the other curiosities you're waiting to see. I don't know there's anybody that carries as much intrigue as – I think Matt Shaw. Matt Shaw and Kyle Tucker, to me, are the biggest attractions of this spring training to see what they – look like and how they will function in that lineup, because that lineup's a very good lineup, but we know a lot about the rest of the guys. And I would eventually say this, I said this the other night on TV, but I think it bears repeating with PCA. It's not just about his hairdo and all the things that make him sort of entertaining and a character. You'd like to see him get to the point where he's a good enough major league hitter to where his speed tool, which is his best tool, can be maximized. And for him to do that, I think he's got to bat at the top of the order. And I don't know if he's going to be a skilled enough hitter to bat at the top of the order just yet. Some people think that would be rushing him. But if you want your ideal situation for the Cubs and you see him continuing to progress and ascend, PCA is your leadoff hitter. On the next great Cub team, however you want to phrase it, Dustin, right? I mean, on the next great Cub team, isn't PCA leading off?
You would think.
And
you would think
if he singles, it's a double. If he walks, it's a double. He can get you two bases in one because of his speed tool. So whatever it needs to take full advantage of that, try to do it. So I think that's another interesting thing to start to see. Where is PCA offensively this spring? So there are questions surrounding a Cub team that seems to have a set lineup. I don't think you're ever as set as you think you are.
I can't wait to see what PCA looks like this year. He doesn't lack in confidence. So, you know, you walk into spring training with that hairdo, you feel like there's got to be something to go with it.
If you're a look-at-me guy, you better be able to back it up.
Yeah.
And I think so far in his life, in his career, he has been able to back it up.
And he's such an exciting player. It when he's playing at his best, it just feels like there's so much there. And the personality is fun. You could be, you know, we talk about who are the biggest faces in Chicago sports. It could be him. You just got to win.
It'd be PCA, Caleb Williams,
Angel Reese,
Montes Pizzelis, and Angel Reese.
Can I also add one to that? Roma Dunze has... I was scrolling on Abercrombie. I got a targeted ad for Abercrombie. Roma Dunze in a Bears sweatshirt for Abercrombie. This guy's got every Bounty. He's in every commercial. I'm like, this is unbelievable.
Did he have the kind of season to justify all of those endorsements?
No, but he's a top 10 pick. He gets the deals.
Exactly. He's a top 10 pick. He did not have the numbers that would reflect the top 10 pick.
Yeah.
What comes first, the endorsements or the production?
I just want to add him to the faces of Chicago sports.
All right, we'll add him to the mix for you. Meanwhile, the Sox don't have a lot of familiar faces in camp at Glendale. They have their first full squad workout today. We talked during the pick six about Will Venable and what kind of expectations you think are there for him as a Sox manager. They could, as we continue to say, have a 100-loss season and still be the most improved team in baseball. You look at their everyday lineup, and there's going to be a lot of competition for who plays second, who plays short, who plays third. I dare you, or I would challenge anybody, can you name the people, players in the mix for those spots?
So this weekend, the White Sox social media team put out a video of basically get to know our guys, and they're and they basically have the guys walk up to the camera and they're like, give us a fun fact.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this like, okay, gotta learn this name, gotta know this name. Like, it's actually unbelievable. And you know what? It could be a lot of fun. I think the social media team, kudos to them, because you gotta hype them up. You gotta build this. Like, you gotta build the buy-in, the fan base. You gotta do something. All these guys, like four guys, said they can solve a Rubik's Cube.
Was that a thing in the Sox clubhouse? Because I thought
like,
the same thing.
What is going on? Are
they passing the Rubik's Cube around to be like, solved?
Yeah, one guy said 19 seconds or something. 29 seconds.
The people looking for jobs at White Sox camp are guys who I think are relatively anonymous. Jacob Amaya is in the mix for an infield spot. Brooks Baldwin, you might remember him from last year, but Sox fans, you have to be a pretty ardent Sox fan to know much about the background of a Brooks Baldwin. Colson Montgomery, who is the prized prospect, but did you read Keith Law's assessment of where Colson Montgomery is in his development? If you did, you're not as encouraged as you thought you were after his stint in the Arizona League last fall. Brian Ramos, Josh Rojas, Lenin Sosa, Miguel Vargas, and the one familiar name among all the infielders the Sox have right now, Andrew Vaughn. Andrew Vaughn is back. That's, to some people, a threat as much as it is a promise, because he does not have has not had the kind of success you expected him to. But this is a very anonymous infield. And it's a very anonymous camp with prospects who you just don't know what to expect from these guys. So it's a challenge for Will Venable to mix and match and to find the right combination for a team that's going to struggle.
Yeah, it's going to be, I guess, hopefully at least entertaining, to say the least, right? Like, you hope that at least you're interested to see, okay, what does the lineup look like today? How are they moving things around? What can they, and does this start clicking? Does this work? Like, it's just kind of going to be like a plug and play.
Where's the curiosity for Sox fans if they are watching today the first full squad workout? Is the suspense lie in who plays shortstop? Who's your opening day second baseman? Chase Mydroth, I think, is not even on the 40-man roster, and he's a guy that has been mentioned as a potential starter at second base. I just don't know how much to expect. I mean, then you hear guys like Martin Perez and Joey Gallo and guys who they're adding to the mix. They're excited, but don't they have to be? Don't they have to say that? Martin Perez talked the other day about the White Sox surprising some people, and I'm like, does he really mean that, or is he just the guy that has to set that example because he's experienced? He's played in some very good teams the last couple of years. He joins the Sox. He's their likely opening day starter, but what does he really bring, and what is he really expecting? This is going to be a struggle.
It's good to have that sort of messaging, I think, from the start, from an experienced veteran, to just set the tone and have, you know, you need some player leadership. And I know we talk about Will Venable's age and his, or lack thereof, you know, his youth. And I think also having the players buy in, especially from the leadership standpoint, is really important at this stage.
773 texter, the Palatine Pounder will carry the Sox to 63 wins. That would be Mike Tauchman. He was on the score on Friday afternoon. And I don't know if he will be your opening day right fielder, but they could do a lot worse. 63 wins, that would mean 99 losses. I think the Sox would take that.
Yeah.
If the Sox don't lose 100 games, that feels like a successful season on the South Side.
I think those are realistic expectations. I mean, we just talk about the fear of expectations, but that feels like achievable.
I think it could be.
Palatine Pounder. Come on, baby.
Yeah, it's a good nickname.
It's a good one.
It's a good nickname. I think Mike Tauchman makes their outfield more professional. Yeah. Some sad news, White Sox-wise, over the weekend. Scott Merkin from MLB.com had a story that I think did receive a lot of national attention because of the stature of Bobby Jenks in White Sox history. The closer from the 2005 World Series team. Everybody remembers Bobby Jenks. He's dealing with stage 4 stomach cancer, and he's living in Portugal with his wife, I believe, and where she's from, and he's dealing with this over there, and it's just a real sad story. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Bobby Jenks, because he was managing a team, Windy City Thunderbolts, I believe, last year, and he, I think he's been on the Score when he was doing that. Everybody remembers Bobby Jenks as a fun-loving guy, and his transparency and honesty in dealing with and talking about what led him to this point, some of the bad choices he made in his 20s. Just really sad news. Did not expect to read that over the weekend. Stage 4 stomach cancer. Wishing the best for Bobby Jenks. All right, so when we come back, Ruthie wants to talk about Dusty May. And we may have some audio from Dusty May. Do we have the audio from Dusty May? All right, we're going to see what the future Indiana head coach. The current Michigan head coach.
I am done with you.
Okay. Ruthie's done with me, but she's going to fill in for Mully anyway until 10 o'clock. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're going to get a lot of vitriol. There's nothing that makes them more angry than us dusting that stuff off. Nothing makes them angry. When they're doing all that stuff to us, and we act like it, we don't, man, we ain't into that. We're chasing something bigger, man. Absolutely. We're chasing something that's eternal, fellas. It's your bond for life. That's what a championship does, fellas. It brings this team, you guys, look, we're old. You guys will be around for a long time. Championships bring this team together for a lifelong bond. This group of guys, forever brothers, let's keep chasing the championship. Let's keep preparing for the next.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. We're fired up. We're fired up because Dusty Mays got us fired up.
Six straight wins.
Michigan coach talking to the Wolverines after the Ohio State victory. And I think you look at what he's done in Ann Arbor, his first year there, gets Michigan fans excited. He is definitely a guy who is a hot head coach in college basketball. He has been there for 5 minutes and already made people feel good about the change from Juwan Howard and what he did at Florida Atlantic does not seem to be a fluke because Dusty May can coach. We're talking college basketball because March Madness is right around the corner. It's February 17th already, people, so you got to get ready for college basketball, ready or not. So you like everything you hear from Dusty May. Wolverines are happy with the choice, right?
Oh, yeah. I think so. We were talking about it in the break. You know, I think when he was asked after a game if he would be interested in the Indiana.
Well, that's why we're talking about him.
Which is why we're talking.
That's
about
why
him.
We're talking
and
about Dusty May.
His answer there to me was like, I don't know. It was pretty vague. There was not really a hard like, I'm here forever.
But you got to understand that, right? You got to understand that, don't you? A little bit.
Not really.
Why?
Ruthie. I mean, listen.
All right. You want him to be the forever coach at Michigan.
No, I just think there's no need for him to just like run away. And I think money talks. Do I think that Indiana is going to outbid Michigan to keep him in Michigan if they make a run in the tournament this year? Like, I think Michigan's going to do everything they can to try and keep him in Ann Arbor. If this turns out the way we think it will.
And I do believe that if you are the Indiana administration, you look at this as something a swing you have to take, a big swing that you have to take. You know this about Dusty May. College basketball fans know this about Dusty May. He's from Indiana. He went to Eastern Green High School. You know how many students they have? About 350. This guy grew up with the Hoosiers thing. I can relate to that. So he loved Indiana basketball enough to go to Indiana. He was a student manager under who? Bobby Knight. He was on Mike Davis's staff. In his ideal basketball world, when he was 7 years old, learning how to dribble and shoot free throws, because that's what every Indiana kid learns to do once he turns six. You shoot free throws. Dusty May wanted to be leading Indiana basketball. And yeah, Michigan's a great job. It's a terrific gig. But it's not the ideal in his mind. So if he's got a chance to do it, I think he's going to go. I don't know Dusty May. I know people who know him, but I don't know him to say that definitively. But I would be shocked if he were given the opportunity that he wouldn't take advantage.
That would be a shocker. It would sort of brew potentially a nice little reignited rivalry between Michigan and Indiana. I think let's wait and see.
Okay.
I think let's wait and see. I think they're doing they figured something out in Ann Arbor right now. They've won six straight. Is that what I just said? Six straight games. March Madness. There's something magical about going on a run with a group of guys. But like you said, you know, coaches leave just like that, and that's why I think players should have the ability to do that too.
$5 million buyout. with 1.5
million
more.
Oh, that's actually a lot smaller than I thought it was.
Yeah, well, Nate Oates, another guy who would be ideal for the job in Bloomington, he's got a, like $18 million buyout. I think that's a bit exorbitant. Yeah.
Vegas Haw, you can chip in and help out on that.
I'm not actually an Indiana Hoosiers fan. I did not grow up an IU fan.
Really?
I did not. I grew up in Northwest Indiana, more of a Notre Dame basketball fan than
How are they doing?
Indiana basketball. Well, I think it's a great segue.
Is their head coach up great for the segue. Indiana job?
But see, my,
he can go there.
My Notre Dame fandom dates back to Digger Phelps, and I wanted to be John Paxson, and I was shooting the jumpers in the driveway pretending to be Pax. But that goes way back with the Kelly Trepuka days. Notre Dame basketball has had better times. Mike Bray left. Micah Shrewsbury replaced him. A couple seasons ago, and Micah Shrewsbury is struggling to the point where after the latest loss, he kind of went off. And this little rant was after being asked simply why Notre Dame had struggled over the last 10 games.
But I know these guys aren't going to quit. No, they're not going to quit, right? And I understand that, like, you know, I don't understand that a lot of people have quit on us. And well-deserved. If you hate me, absolutely, man. Great. If you think I suck, if you think I can't coach, I'm with you, man. Good. Good for you, because you're allowed to have opinions. If you think I should be fired, good for you. You're allowed to have opinions, right? A lot of people have given up on this team. They've given up on me. I don't really give a damn. I believe in myself, and I believe in these guys.
Micah Shrewsbury. And then when he ended his comments, he smacked the microphone. And he walked off the stage. And I have to say, when you watch the clip, if you were able to watch the clip on social media, that probably bothered me or concerned me the most than anything that he said. More than anything that he said, because it was such a quick, violent, boom, to the microphone. And he's like, whoa.
To a very valid question. It was a very blanket, what's been the biggest problem, what's been, or something along those lines over mm-hmm. the last five mm-hmm. games or whatever it is. And you kind of see the wheels turning in his head, and he's sort of having this like conversation with himself. There's sort of that interaction of, you think I should get fired? Yeah, me too. Like, who are you talking to?
This is only his second year at Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's a little alarming. You want the leader of a team to be able to handle their emotions in that instance.
You definitely expect that from any college basketball coach, but especially one at Notre Dame. I think when you have a coach that, this is probably terribly unfair, but he succeeded Mike Bray, who is probably as easygoing but competitive as any coach that you would want if you're a college basketball fan or athletic director to hire. Micah Shrewsbury is 11-14 this year with Notre Dame. Last year in his first season, he was 13-20. Hasn't quite gotten there yet, but it's the second year. It's the middle of a second season. You give him some time, and there's a grace period there. But when he loses his patience to that degree over a relatively simple, fair question, it raises some really doubts about his ability to lead this program. It does. What he was complaining about, questioning him, is what he just made easier to do. Yeah. And that's not what you want. So I think Notre Dame basketball, you want to feel like it's in good hands, but that was not a good moment for him.
No, and I think there's a fine line and of emotions in college basketball. And I think it's an interesting sport because of the transfer portal. It feel and really NIL, it feels like a recruiting tool is the brand of the head coach. Mm-hmm. And that can work for or against you in terms of the types of players that you're recruiting. I look specifically to Dan Hurley, who is very controversial with his antics on the sideline.
Oh my gosh, are you going to go on about your
My dear
you
angel.
Covered Dan Hurley. You love Dan Hurley. You, Mr. Dan Hurley, the greatest coach. You talk about a guy that can't keep his composure.
Okay, listen. I'm not sitting here saying I'm in love with Dan Hurley, although questionable. No, just kidding. I love his wife too, Andrea. Listen, all I'm saying is there is you are the face of a program,
yes.
Especially in college basketball.
True.
More so than you are
definitely
in other sports, even in football. I think even in college football, because I don't know if it's because of the smaller roster, but you're You are a recruiting tool. So when you see something like that, these guys are brands. Was that authentic? Was he trying to create a reaction?
That's interesting because I don't know if he did, because you saw him building toward it. And he was getting madder as he spoke longer. But
he was like having that conversation with the demons, and it was a little it was a little alarming.
Speaking of the demons, St. John's plays DePaul Wednesday.
Are we going?
Wintrust. Well, I know
we talked about it.
Rick Pitino is a great example of what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
A guy who goes to program to program, and every time he does it, it's kind of built based on the power of his personality. And he becomes this brand name, and he becomes this, he represents everything about the school where he's working, whether it's Kentucky, Louisville, and now it's St. John's. And Providence before that, you know, way back when Billy Donovan gets his jersey retired.
I was going to say, while we're talking about college basketball, give Billy his flowers.
That's where Rick Pitino, began the odyssey. And so it comes to Chicago on Wednesday night. And that's a great example of a guy, when you're looking for the next great head coach at your program, you're looking for a guy that can do that for your profile. So curious, an interesting weekend in college basketball.
I do love Dan Hurley.
I know you do.
But I understand that it's polarizing.
Yeah.
It's polarizing. But you talk about a team taking on the personality of the head coach. That's what all of his teams have done at Wagner, at Rhode Island, at UConn. Those teams play so freaking hard because Dan Hurley coaches them like that.
No doubt about it. Give the flowers to Dan Hurley.
And they've won the championship.
Speaking of college sports and starting programs and what a college program is looking for, in a front man, Chicago State wants to start a football program. We're going to talk to Howard Griffith next. It's Molly and Hall, Ruthie Polinsky in for Molly, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It is a great day to be a Cougar.
This is a special day for the Cougar community and the entire NEC community.
So it would be a natural synergy to roll football into their conference.
It's a big enrollment driver. Right, so that helps the institution, but more so it's kind of that energy and the spirit that you get with a football program.
Welcome back, it's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Molly today. That was Monique Carroll, the athletic director at Chicago State. Thank you to WGN for that audio, talking about starting a football program, which brings us to our next guest, and the Score Hotline is brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Howard Griffith is a two-time Super Bowl champion. He is on the Big Ten Network. He's well-known to people in Chicago as a guy who knows a little something about football. Howard, welcome this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. Great to talk to you. Let's start with Chicago State. You were on the committee to explore the possibility of creating a program a couple years ago. Here we are, 2 years later. They're moving forward with plans. It seems ambitious to me, Howard. I don't know how they're going to do it. I love the idea. How would you describe where we are right now?
I think we're really one step closer. I know that they're in the process now or vetting the guys that are going, or the people that have an opportunity to be the next head coach or the first head coach. So they're pretty much down the road with that, and I believe at least some interviews will start to take place maybe later on this week.
Howard, great to talk to you. Ruthie Polinsky, I'm in for Molly today. I'm so curious about what the vision may be for that head coach. What are you looking for in someone who's not only going to have to put a team together, but also be a brand and a face for this product?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And I think like with most coaching searches, you start at the top. You have this idea of the perfect candidate, and that perfect candidate may be a sitting head coach, may have head coaching experience, may start to have, some of the attributes that you believe that really fit the qualities of being a great head coach. But as you mentioned, this is a much different build, a much different situation when you start talking about trying to start football, or being the head football coach on the south side of Chicago at Chicago State. I think you have to have a person that really has a great grasp with relationships within the state of Illinois. Not so much that you have to be from the state of Illinois and you want to recruit this. This has to be your area that you need to be able to recruit kids. But I think you have to, be an outstanding head coach. Do you need to have been a head coach? I don't think so necessarily. You look at some of the guys that have had great histories here. Urban Meyer, you know, never was a coordinator, but obviously won national championships and now is a Hall of Fame coach. And I know that's, you know, an outlier, but I think you start to really open your mind. They have to be a visionary. They're ultimately going to have to be a fundraiser. They're going to have to be an organizer. So I think the coach that ultimately gets this job is going to be able to have to really be able to paint a vision, not only to Dr. Carroll and Chicago State, but also to potential recruits. What's that story ultimately going to look like when you're trying to sell a program that hasn't had football in the past?
So, Howard, you appreciate Chicago. You love it here. You're a mm-hmm. product of Julian High School. You understand mm-hmm. the area as well as anybody. So how do you sell this job, though, to somebody who might not? How do you sell this job, and where is the money coming from? Because you know that at some point in time, it's going to come down to dollars and cents.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think one of the first barriers or the first hurdles that was out there was being able to raise that initial money so that we could really convince the board would believe that this was an opportunity to really had legs and could get there. So, you know, that hurdle's been crossed. Now you started the process of the head coach. And that's why I say it's interesting. It's going to be very interesting of who that candidate is. And ultimately, that's why I said that they also have to be a fundraiser, because when they're hired, it's not like there's going to be football being played immediately. There's not. There'll probably be the head coach, some administrators that will be involved, but they need to be out in the community beating the drum. And I know that there are quite a few donors that are out there that want to be involved and that express interest, but want to see Chicago State get to that next level. And now they've gotten that to the hurdle of raising the $4 million. They've gotten to the hurdle where now they're in position to start interviewing for the head coach. So now I think they start to sell the program. But I think ultimately, you know, it depends upon, you know, who has a job at that particular moment, right? You talk about who the candidates are. Well, if you're the Chicago Bears, you're not a candidate for this job if you're a sitting head coach. So you start to work your way backwards. And I know that, you know, I'm setting the bar really high, but you start to work your way backwards to people who have organizational skills, people who can really dive in and be able to sell the program. And I think it's so much of that candidate's going to be able to need to sell themselves to the committee and to the search firm to really be able to take over this job and believe that you can move this forward, because it's not going to be easy. It's still, you know, still a lot of lifting, heavy lifting to be done. But I do believe that under Dr. Carroll's, the athletic director's leadership, and Z Scott, I believe that, you know, we're going to be able to really make this happen.
Based on sort of what's transpired over the last, I guess, week or so since this became sort of major news, is there anyone that sort mm-hmm. of reached out, or the support that you've gotten, that's surprised you based on this? Like, a college football team on the south side of Chicago, like, that's such a unique idea. And I'm just curious if there are people that are reaching out that are all on board and have surprised you in support.
Yeah, I think there are people that are out there, no doubt about it. I know that they have gotten a lot of calls. I'm not as involved in the day-to-day as that committee is, but I know that they've been in touch with a lot of people who feel the same way I do, is that, you know, the idea of having Division I football on the south side of Chicago is really, really intriguing. And I think part of that is us being able to tell the story and be able to create the type of environment that's going to have people that particularly that want to donate to be able to jump on board and be a part of it. And I think that narrative is starting to be told. And again, I think we're a step closer when you start going down the interview process of a head coach.
Howard, before we let you go, I got to ask, you look at Eddie George, you look at Michael Vick, you look at Deion Sanders, former players are getting back on the sidelines and they're really good head coaches. You would be my first candidate if I'm sitting down and I'm looking for a head coach at Chicago State.
Yeah.
Are you a candidate?
I am not a candidate. I really kind of enjoy – I've just finished my 18th year at the Big Ten Network, and I love being around it. It's given me an excellent opportunity to still stay around the sport and also understand what's happening in college athletics. This is a fascinating time, as you know, mm-hmm. when you start to think about college athletics. Right now, I think we are so much closer to the pro model than people, I think, even recognized. When you start having positions like the general manager, which started a couple of years ago, but now has become really prominent in a lot of athletic programs that are starting to build and obviously figure out where the money is going to be doled out to.
Congratulations also to your son who joined the Illini staff, Houston, now the assistant defensive backs coach under Brett Bielema. That's tremendous. So one day maybe he'll be in a position to be a head coaching candidate.
Well, he definitely wants to. He definitely wants to, but I appreciate that. And again, you know, staying close to the sport is something I always wanted to be able to do. And having him and having the opportunity to watch him develop as a young head coach has been fun to watch as well.
You're the best, Howard. Really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Howard.
All right, appreciate it. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network talking about Chicago State's quest for their first head coach. They're creating football. They've got a budget. They've got some donors interested. We'll see what direction that goes. Very, very interesting stuff indeed. All right. We are here. It's the Mully and Haas Show. Ruthie Polinsky is in for Mully today. When we come back, we're going to shift gears, and we're going to talk to Frank Saravalli, who is the CHSN, the Chicago Sports Network Hockey Insider. He's in Boston. Big hockey game tonight. We'll talk to him next on Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.